May the Lord enable us to commence our services today with hymn 804. Ye lambs of Christ's fold, ye weaklings in faith, who long to lay hold on life by his death, who fain would believe him and in your best room would gladly receive him, but fear to presume. Hymn 804.
Thank you.
Let us read in the Gospel of John, chapter 4, the first 42 verses. The Gospel of John, chapter 4. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marvel that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot, and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city, and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, or ready to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labour. Other men laboured, and ye are entered into their labours. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him, for the saying of the woman which testified, He told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. And he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. And said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Saviour of the world. May the Lord bless his word and help his servant in prayer.
Most gracious and most merciful Lord God, Lord, who come near, Lord, now and grant to us the divine help and aid of thy blessed Holy Spirit, and that we may be true worshippers of thee, and be amongst those that do worship thee in spirit and in truth. We pray that thy Spirit may rule our spirit, and that we may have the mind and the Spirit of Christ, and be favoured like dear John on the Isle of Patmos, and may we be as he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. We seek, dear Lord, for grace to bow before thee and to plead that precious name of the dear Lord Jesus, that name the Father loves to hear his children plead, and all such pleadings he approves and blesses them indeed. Lord, who grant to us this day, Lord, a sweet token for good, if it would please thee in each of our souls, and we may go on our way rejoicing, that thy name may be honoured and glorified, and a precious Jesus be made exceedingly precious to us, and the one thing that is needful. We pray that thou wilt blot out, dear Lord, our many, many sins. Oh, we much to mourn over because of the sins within, the sins of our lives. We pray for that true broken heart and contrite spirit to be given to us. We may be blessed with real heart repentance, a true godly sorrow. We would pray with the hymn writer, Dear Lord, may I a mourner be over my sins and after thee. Oh, we pray to be washed, dear Lord, and cleansed and made white in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, do seal pardon and peace to each sin-sick soul. May burdened sinners lose their load, and downcast souls rejoice. Oh, we seek for more and more grace to be given to us, Lord, that grace that we may endure to the end, we may have that real religion thou dost give to thy people, we may be favoured to be among them, we may be truly taught of the Lord. We pray with the psalmist, that I know not, teach thou me. O Lord, how we need that heavenly teaching. No, none teacheth like thee. We pray that thou wilt go before us each in the untrodden steps of life journey. And O dear Lord, do prepare us for thy will, and for a vast eternity. Oh, that thou wouldst make us right, dear Lord, and keep us right. And that we may be humble walkers before thee. Save us from being ready talkers, but may we be as the hymn writer, but ever be at thy dear feet, and be as nothing before thee. O precious Christ, be in the one thing that is needful. O Lord, do come and be the master of assemblies this day. May thy sweet and sacred presence be known and felt both in our hearts, Lord, each of us personally, and too within these walls, and that we may prove what the dear hymn writer said, the season will be sweet if Jesus be but there. O Lord, we do seek that thou wilt lift up those that are cast down, to appear for those that walk in sorrow, Lord, and if it be thy holy will, do turn their sorrows into joy. And oh, may those that are buffeted by Satan be freed from his power, and that thou wilt loose all those that are in bondage. Oh, that thou wouldst come and set thy people free, Lord. For thou didst say, if the Son shall make you free, then are ye free indeed. O Lord, may many be brought into sweet liberty, that they may be delivered from all the bondage of sin and of Satan, of unbelief and of this world, and the bondage of our own deceitful hearts. And oh, that thou wouldst free thy children and set them at liberty. And oh, Lord, may it please thee to look upon those that are in affliction's pathway. Many are laid aside of thy dear people, those unable to gather today in their afflictions, Lord. Oh, do make each bed in each affliction. Lord, do sanctify all these afflictions. May there be out of that which is bitter be made sweet, Lord. Oh, that thou wouldst come to those that may have got some special need. And oh, do come and supply it to supply to them all that they need. May they prove what the dear poet said, my every need he richly will supply, nor will his mercy ever let me die. Remember the dear babes, Lord, the dear children. We pray for them each. Thou wilt preserve them and keep them, watch over them. Who hear the prayers of the dear parents for their offspring. We pray thou wilt raise up from among them a seed to serve thee, and a generation to call thee the Redeemer blessed. May thy tender filial fear be put in each of their hearts, if it be thy holy will. And O Lord, do hear the prayers that go for the young in this dark and solemn day, and do keep them from the evil that abounds. O Lord, may it please thee to bless the dear young people. May they seek thy face continually concerning all the things of providence, the things of grace. And they may be abundantly blessed and favoured, and be raised up to be real followers of a meek and lowly Jesus. O Lord, may it please thee to remember those that carry offspring. We pray for strength and help, and we beg of thee to grant safe deliverance, Lord, at the appointed time. Oh, may the dear babes be born with all their faculties and be raised up to be vessels of divine mercy. Lord, do grant each one, Lord, that live in faith to believe. Take away all the unbelief in us, Lord. We pray that thou wilt deliver us from our unbelief. How often we have to say with one of old, oh, could I but believe, then all would easy be. And may your faith be strengthened, Lord, and may we be as those in thy word, strong in faith, giving God the glory. Do guide and direct the deacons and give them wisdom and grace, Lord, in all the burdens they carry, and bless the hymns they give out. May there be those times of sweet flowing together to the goodness of the Lord between pulpit, desk and pew. Oh, do remember all in trouble, Lord, many in middle age that carry many concerns, many burdens, to undertake for each one. Those in the evening time of life, Lord, we pray for many that are in much weakness and through old age and infirmities, and those in Bethesda at Harpenden with the coronavirus. We pray that they may, and each one in affliction, be brought through it all, if it's thy holy will, and spared. And oh, may there be a blessing in it, Lord, and divine teaching. And oh, may we be enabled, Lord, in all things to be still and to know that thou art God. And oh, we pray for thy dear servants, Lord, especially who take thy dear servant to our own flock in peace and safety today. And oh, it's the Lord, the troubles he's had on the journey thus far. We pray that thou wilt especially anoint him and bless him and be with the dear friends. May it be a good day in thy cause, the day of the Son of Man upon the earth. Remember all thy servants, Lord, and oh, do bless their labours, and may thy gospel through them be crowned with success. And, oh Lord, do bless thy flock here. We thank thee for all thy goodness and mercy to them. And we pray that there may be yet many born again throughout this land, Lord, and throughout the earth. May there be an awakening of many sinners round in the villages and towns and cities of this nation, many brought to fear thy holy name. And oh, may thy courts be filled with hungry souls, crying, "Give me Christ, or else I die." O Lord, we pray that thou wilt work in many, and those that as yet know thee not. For thou hast said, "I will work, and who shall let it?" And we do seek, dear Lord, that thou wilt constrain others to follow thee. May there be again a moving of the waters in our own flock and to here and throughout Zion. For we do rejoice when Zion's offspring come. And oh, we pray that there may be yet much travail in the churches, that there might be a bringing forth of precious souls. For thou hast said, "Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power." Do have mercy upon the nation, dear Lord. Oh, do work mightily in our new king and bring him, Lord, to set a right example in the nation and to fear thy holy name and to stand for what is right, and do work in our Prime Minister and those in government, and turn them, Lord, from looking to man and for all ways of natural deliverance instead of looking to thee. May they have their eyes fixed upon a precious Jesus. And Lord, we do beg that thou wilt come, Lord, and deliver thy persecuted ones throughout the earth, and preserve to us each the privileges we are favoured with, and overturn all the laws that are contrary to thy word. Hear the cries of those that sigh and cry over the abominations done in the land. And oh, we pray for a spirit of true thanksgiving and praise for all thy mercies to us, those mercies that are countless as the sand that daily we receive. We would give thee all the honour, all the glory, for the benefit is ours, Lord, but the glory belongs to thee. We would love and praise thee more. O Lord, what wait we for? Our hope is in thee, who pour in that we might pour out as we turn to thy holy word, and touch our lips with that live coal from off thy heavenly altar. And oh, do apply thy word with divine power in the hearts of thy dear people. Be with us now and help us to sing thy praises from our hearts. May we know the realities of what we sing. Make up in giving where we fail in asking. And pardon all that thy pure eyes see amiss in us. We beg it for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 999. When any turn from Zion's way, alas, what numbers do, methinks I hear my Saviour say, wilt thou forsake me too? Hymn 999.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I'll direct you to Psalm 115 and the first part of verse 12. Psalm 115 and the first part of the 12th verse. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. Psalm 115 and the first part of verse 12. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. These are very sacred and blessed words that the dear psalmist was enabled to write here. And they are so precious to every one of God's dear people in various ways. This text, we tried to preach from both services at home last Lord's Day, and it has lived in me all the week. And the Lord does not seem to give me anything else to bring before you, so we venture with it. The first thing we would say is this, and what a wonderful mercy if we are possessors of it like the psalmist was, and that is the living faith the Lord had given to him. You see, faith looks back, but faith looks forward. And in these few words in our text, the dear psalmist was enabled to look back. And what could he say? The Lord hath been mindful of us. Now, could you say that this morning? Well, let me come low. Do you desire to be able to say it? But then, he didn't rest there, did he? Faith was to look forward. The hymn writer said, faith is the brightest evidence of things beyond our sight. And really, you know, there's a beautiful word in that hymn, isn't there? And it's a very sacred word. And it confirms really what I have just said. It sets time past in present view, brings distant prospects home of things 1,000 years ago or 1,000 years to come. And poor soul this morning, do you desire to have such faith? A little of that faith that Abraham was blessed with when he went up to Mount Moriah, where you could step back and say the faith that the Lord gave him when he gave him that beautiful promise. As he looked into the starry heaven, so shall thy seed be. And faith looked forward to the prospect of the fulfillment of that. But oh, the patience that he needed to wait for it, didn't he? But in God's time, you see, the Lord was to grant him that sweet fulfillment of it. When it was all past all nature and all natural things, the Lord was to bring it to pass, and faith believed it. And you think when he had to offer after God had given him Isaac, his son, and then the Lord commanded him to take him up to Mount Moriah and offer him up as a sacrifice before the Lord. And you look at the wonderful blessing he received there. I and the lad, he said, will go yonder and worship and come again. How could he do that when the Lord had said to him, take thy son, thy only son, and offer him up? Faith believed the Lord would provide. And you know, if you look in every detail of all that concern in Abraham's life, the Lord was mindful of him in it all. Oh, he was. The mindfulness of the Lord is wonderful. Oh, it is. I did use the illustration last Lord's Day. You take a mother when she has a little babe. That babe is helpless. It cannot do anything itself. It's dependent upon her. And it won't matter whether she's asleep or awake, the dear mother, she's mindful of it at all times. Why? It's part of her. She has carried it. She has brought it forth. And she's mindful of it. She thinks when it's asleep, is it all right? She concerned, you see. She has to feed it. She has to clothe it. She has to do everything for it. And look at it spiritually. The love the Lord has toward his dear people, that great love that a mother has for her babe, is a wonderful love. But you think in a far greater way, the love of the Lord to his dear children. He's so mindful of them, you see. Whatever they may be in, wherever they may be. The hymn writer said, didn't he, at home or abroad, on the land, on the sea. The Lord hath been mindful of us. Well, for us to understand this rightly, we need to go back. And what I mean is this. With the real child of God, they don't just look back to the beginning of their lives. They go back spiritually to before the world was formed. And you look how mindful the Blessed Trinity were. The Father, Son, and Blessed Holy Spirit of these dear people. They were chosen in Christ ere time began. The Lord was mindful of them before he put one particle of the earth together, or formed the land or the sea. Their love with an everlasting love. And how mindful God the Father was in choosing such a people. This people have I formed, he says, for myself. They shall show forth my praise. But then how mindful God the Father was in giving his only begotten Son. Mindful that his dear people must be saved from all their sin. Mindful that Christ alone could save them by suffering, bleeding, dying. And how mindful the precious Son of God was when he came into this earth to suffer, bleed and die for his dear children. The Lord hath been mindful of us. The hymn writer said, didn't he, my soul looks back to see the burdens thou didst bear when hanging on the accursed tree and hopes her guilt was there. And how mindful the blessed Holy Spirit is of revealing a precious Christ to sinners as their only hope, their only Saviour, the only source of deliverance. The hymn writer said, "And if ever my poor soul be saved, 'tis Christ must be the way." So the mindfulness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting to his dear people. The Lord hath been mindful of us. But then he's mindful of his dear people when they are dead in trespasses and sin. I've often thought of the dear Apostle Paul, you know. How mindful the Lord was of him, even when he was persecuting the church of God. He didn't agree with what Saul was doing. And how he hated the name of Jesus, but the Lord's mindfulness was toward him. And the hour was going to come where the Lord was to bring him onto that Damascus road and speak from heaven to him, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. 'Tis hard for thee to kick against the pricks." The Lord was mindful of him. Can you look back? Those that the Lord has begun in you, worked in you, and you look back how mindful he was. He could have cut you off as a cumber of the ground in those unregenerate days. But he didn't, did he? Why? Because his love was toward you. It's wonderful, you know, to look back to this mindfulness of the Lord to his dear people. And he was mindful of Saul of Tarsus when he brought him into such concern. He cried out, "What shall I do, Lord?" And oh, how wonderfully he brought him to real prayer, as we heard on Friday evening, to cry out for the Lord to have mercy upon him. And while we're on that theme, you think of the dear publican, how mindful the Lord was of that dear publican when he cried, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." He's mindful of your cries, your groans, your silent petitions. Those times where you cannot say a word, when all you can do is sigh or groan under the heavy load, he hath been mindful of us. The Lord hath been mindful of us. And then he's mindful of your prayers today, poor soul. The Lord knows those inward cries when not a word is even uttered. How mindful he is of us. But there's a solemn searching side to this word. It's a most blessed word, as I've indicated, but it is a searching word. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He's mindful of all the sins we commit. Nothing is hid from him. Whether those sins be of word, whether they be of thought. You think, none of us know what each one's thinking in the chapel this morning, but the Lord's mindful of it. Now, there may be times where their thoughts are evil. The thoughts are sinful, the thoughts are wrong. that will search the sinner from time to time. Nothing escapes his sight. The hymn writer said, didn't he? He sees us when we see not him, and always hears our cry. He's mindful when we may hide things from people we don't want them to see. I remember going to a house many years ago now for dinner and tea on the Lord's Day, and I sat in the chair and I moved the cushion because it wasn't comfortable, and underneath was all sorts of books and magazines. They were all hid up, you see. And I've heard people say, I wouldn't want the minister to see these things, but the Lord sees them. And it brought home searchingly to me how the all-seeing eye sees everything and every action. You dear children, dear young people, you think every action is weighed by the Lord. And every thought. And he sees us exactly as we are. And well could the word of God be brought home to us each today. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves. And Christ be in you. What a mercy if he is in us also. The Lord hath been mindful of us. And that's why we read that chapter together this morning. It came to me so powerfully in begging the Lord what we should read. You think of that dear woman of Samaria. You know, we read it, don't we, in that sacred chapter. In verse 4 he said that he hath, and he must needs go through Samaria. I've heard people say, oh, well, if you look on the map, it was part of the journey for him to go. But he had need to go through Samaria. Not just for this dear woman, but for many others. The Lord saw her where she was, though he was away from, but he had need to go through Samaria. Do you know times where you've been in such need and you've come into Swavesey Chapel and the Lord has known what that need is, whether it's in providence or whether it's in grace in your poor heart, and he has need to come through Swavesey. And he had need to go through Samaria for this dear woman particularly. And he knew all about her life. He didn't need any man to tell her. He knew she'd had 5 husbands. And he knew all about her. She didn't have to tell him. That's the wonderful thing, isn't it? You think of it this morning. The Lord, you may be in something that really concerns you, whether it's in your soul, in your pathway, in the family. And you may say, well, I'm in this, but the Lord knows. And he knows just how to deal with it, poor soul. He's mindful of it, you see. And mindful of what you're in, because if his love is toward you, he'll be continually mindful of you. And he was of this dear woman. And you look how he revealed himself to her, like he did to Saul of Tarsus. It's a good prayer in that 399th hymn, isn't it? Jesus, reveal thyself to me. And you look how he manifested himself to her and told her all things that ever she did. And when she went into the city, what did she say? I think it was Whitfield, or one of the old divines, said it was one of the best sermons that was ever preached. That dear woman preached it. Come, see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And you look how he revealed himself to her and gave her what she needed. And you know the Lord can do that today. There's a beautiful couplet in the hymn, isn't there? The Lord has made it very precious to many of his dear people. You see, this dear woman would be looked at and said, oh, well, she's a vile sinner. She was, and she knew it when the Lord Jesus revealed himself to her. And what's the verse? The vilest sinner out of hell that lives to feel his need is welcome to the throne of grace, a Saviour's blood to plead. Do you know what it is to feel the vilest sinner? It's not a palatable place for the flesh, poor soul. Well, you know, it's a good place to be brought because it's none but Jesus that can save us from our sin. And he knows, poor soul, and he's mindful of exactly how you feel the sin and guilt. Oh, he is. He was mindful of the spouse when she said, I am black. She knew what it was to feel it. But come. Do you know what it is to be a black, vile sinner and needing mercy? What a blessed thing. There is a place to come to. And to the dear Redeemer, in humble confession, in humble repentance. The Lord hath been mindful of us. Mindful of your soul. Mindful of those sins that trouble you. And mindful that he's pleased to blot out and to remove the blackest and vilest of sins. And you see that precious blood that he shed at Calvary. It cleanseth from all sin. And the Lord knows how many of you this morning feel the need of it. And whether this poor worm does too, the Lord hath been mindful of us. But then, he's mindful of the promises that he gives his dear people. Oh, he is. You see, going back to Abraham, the Lord was mindful of that promise he gave. You may have a promise given to you years ago. You say, well, the time goes on and it seems impossible that they ever be brought to fruition. But the Lord, if he gave that to you, poor soul, is mindful of it. Oh, he is. And in his time, he will bring it to fruition. Not your time, not mine. What did Jesus say when they sought to take away his life? Your time is always at hand, but my time is not yet. They wanted to take away his life, you see, but he was to lay it down himself. There's an appointed time. The hymn writer said, a time he has set to heal up thy woes. A season most fit his love to disclose. Until he is ready to show his good will, be patient and steady. and wait on him still. Beautiful verse that is, isn't it? Be patient. Wait his time. There's no time, poor soul, like the Lord's time. He's mindful of the times and the places that every one of his dear children come into. You may be in something today you've never walked in before. But poor soul, he's mindful of it. He knows. And you think of those promises that he gives his dear children. He's mindful of those promises. And he will bring them to fruition in his time and in his way. Not in yours, nor in mine. We often plan out this and that and something else, don't we? But we have to prove that his time is the best time. The time is in his hand. What did the psalmist say? My times are in thy hand. And if you look in those wonderful promises the Lord gave to dear Joshua, even before the death of Moses, that the Lord would go before him, that the Lord would be with him. And you read right through the first chapter, the beautiful chapter in the first chapter in Joshua. And the Lord was to fulfill that all the way through the life of dear Joshua. Oh, he was. Every jot and tittle. He proved it when the enemies came against him. The Lord went before him. The Lord was with him. And the Lord was to calm his troubled heart and take away his fears. And there may be those this morning of you that have got many fears. We're creatures of fear, aren't we? We drag along and we fear where no fear is. But he's mindful of that promise. What he has said, fear not. And as you tremble sometimes with fear, he will come and he will calm those fears. He may not say a word, but he favours you to feel and to know his sweet and sacred promise. His presence with you. And it'll make all the crooked straight and the rough places plain. The Lord then hath been mindful of us. And then look at affliction. Many of our beloved friends of late and now, and those that have had to go through surgery. You know, the Lord has been mindful of them in it. And when when you can feel he's mindful of that affliction you're in, it will soften your heart to think how mindful the Lord is to you in it. I remember the late Mr. Shaw, who was pastor at Nottingham, him telling me when he had to go into the hospital when he had the cancer and he got a major surgery. And he said to me, you know, I had many fears. And he said, I went to the hospital to have the operation carried out. And he said, the surgeon came to see him. And he said, the Lord wonderfully had heard and answered prayer, because the surgeon said to him, now, Mr. Shaw, we're going to do this major surgery, you know. And he said, I know, and having to carry it out. But he said, let us pray first before we go in down into the theatre. He said, because your be in the Lord's hands, not just in mine. And he said, I need him to be with me, to guide me how to go through all this surgery. He said, you know, we're all in the Lord's hand. This is what the surgeon told him. He said, you know, I've been administered many, many operations over the years. But he said, I have to prove that the surgeon's knife is in the Lord's hands. Wonderful thing that is, you know. Everything, you see, the mindfulness of the Lord. And what a wonderful thing, there were men, and there still are, I believe, a few, that realise this. We know the Lord has given wonderful wisdom to the surgeons in our land and other places in the earth, but you know they're all in the Lord's hand. We sing in the hymn, don't we? My life's minutest circumstance is subject to his eye. And you know, dear Mr. Shaw said to me, what a comfort that was to feel it, and the surgeon to feel it. He said, so we ventured into the Lord's hands, him being mindful of us. And some of you may have things before you this morning in affliction or in your pathway. But don't forget, poor soul, if nothing this morning, this text, the Lord hath been mindful of us. He's mindful. He knows exactly what you need when you feel to be sinking to hold you up. You think of the dear disciples when the ship was tossed around in the sea. They were fearing for their lives. He came to them walking upon the sea. He was mindful of them. He saw what they were in. And the sea was in his hand. Their souls were in his hand. Their lives were in his hand. The Lord hath been mindful of us. And some of us can look back in an affliction's pathway and we can see how mindful the Lord has been with us in it. And, you know, it's a very humbling experience, it is. And it may be in your providential pathway that you look at the future and you look at the unknown way. And you wonder where the scene will end. But you know the Lord's mindful of his people. Oh, he is. Wherever they may be. The Lord hath been mindful of us. I remember thinking of what the hymn writer said I quoted just now. At home or abroad, or on the land, on the sea. And I think of the late Mr. Mulvey, you know, when the Lord began to work in him in his young days, and he was in the Navy. And he said they were off the Horn of Africa. And he said some of that sea around that Horn of Africa, and some of you children are studying geography, you know, are tremendous seas, especially where two seas meet. And the dear man, you know, he said, I was under God's holy law, convicted of sin, a guilty, wretched sinner, feeling to be at the ends of the earth. And he said, there arose this great storm. And the sea, and he said, the waves were 50 feet high. He said, the ship was tossed on every side. And he said, the devil said to me, oh, you're sinking to hell now. And he said, I trembled. But he said, you know, the Lord came. And with his love and mercy and pardon into his soul, and removed all the sin that troubled him. And he said, you know, he lifted me far above all those waves and the torment and tumult of the sea, and calmed my troubled breast. And he said, you know, then the sea was a calm. The Lord can do it, you see. With men it's impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. So as you look back, poor soul, this morning, and you see how mindful he's been with you from your early days right through until this day, may you too remember what the text says, he will bless us. And that's a wonderful thing, you know. But what I do want to name before we leave it this morning is this. You may say, well, why is the Saviour so mindful and the Lord God, the Father and the blessed Holy Spirit of his dear people? Well, as I've indicated in my poor little way, you know, his love is toward his children. Everlasting love. I have loved thee, the Lord said to Jeremiah, with an everlasting love. Our love is often cold and faint, isn't it? We're hot and cold in half an hour. Sometimes less, isn't it? Not so with the Lord. His love is everlasting. He knows no change, no variation. It's the same yesterday, today and forever. And you think, why does he, this, I think in particularly of a precious Jesus, so mindful of you, if you're his dear children, and me, because he knows exactly how you feel. Let me use the illustration. You think of the sufferings he endured in the Garden of Gethsemane and upon Calvary, the temptations he endured of the devil, Satan. The agonies of soul he endured. Now he says, is my soul troubled? He knows and he can sympathise with you, poor soul, in those soul troubles and the onslaughts of Satan and the sorrows you walk through. Why? Because he's tasted it in a far greater way than ever you and I will. That's how mindful he is of your poor soul. The Lord hath been mindful of us. And you think how mindful he was of those dear disciples tossed around. How mindful he was of the dear woman of Samaria. And you think how mindful he was when Peter's wife's mother was struck with a fever. What did he do? He went and healed her, didn't he? You look how mindful he was of Jairus' daughter when she lay a dying. He didn't rush to the house, did he? No. He came at the appointed time she must die. But you look how mindful he was of the great sorrow of that house. And what did he do? He took her by the hand and said, "Maid, arise." And she arose straightway. Such is his power, poor soul. And you look how mindful he was of Martha and Mary when they sorrowed at the death of Lazarus. He abode 2 days in the place where he was. He didn't rush to the scene, did he? He came in his time and in his power. And what did he do? Raised up Lazarus with those beautiful words, "Lazarus, come forth." And as our brother prayed in prayer this morning, the Lord would say, and may we say it to many, what he did when Lazarus came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, loose him and let him go. He's mindful of those this morning that need loosing. And he alone has power to let you go. Free you, you see. The way to liberty is found. The Son shall make you free. Well, the time's gone. I haven't got anywhere really. May the Lord sweetly apply this word to us. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us.
God willing, Sunday school will be at Bethany this afternoon. There will be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Field. Mr. Matthew Hyde is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Gerald Buss next Lord's Day. And next Lord's Day, the evening service will be at 6 o'clock. Let us close with hymn 330. Your harps, ye trembling saints, down from the willows take. Loud to the praise of Christ our Lord, bid every string awake. Hymn 330.
forgive now anything thy pure eyes have seen amiss. Do bless thy own precious word. Be with us now and during the interval. Come up with us again this evening if it would please. And do bless the Sabbath school. May the grace of the dear Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, and the sweet communion of the blessed Holy Spirit, the divine Comforter, rest and remain with us each now and forevermore. Amen.